good to be back in the pulpit. Been a few weeks, hadn't it? Letting it snow, and John Sandy did such a wonderful job last week, and I really enjoyed that. Talked to him on the phone last night. Appreciate him. Children are dismissed to kids club. Anyway, I'm preaching to you a message today that is called You Are a Champion. And I'm really excited about this. And I'd like to say good morning to everyone on YouTube, everyone on Facebook, everyone on iTunes, everyone on Twitter. Good morning to you all. Hope you're having a great day in Jesus' name. And I'm really thankful for what God is doing. I had a meeting this past Thursday with a financial consultant of mine. And he told me that he follows Perry Stone. And Perry Stone, of course, we were down at one of his youth events this past in 2018 in Cleveland, Tennessee. And one thing that he said, that Jesus could be here, you know, nobody knows the hour of the day, but the Lord could come within the next 5 years, 2025. Now, I put in my notes, polls for shouting and running and screaming and jumping the pews. I hope it's tomorrow. You say, well, what about the people who... Matthew 28, go and get them. If you're not going to get them, let me tell you something. Time is short. Time is short. It's not about programs. It's not about music. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And so what you have to do is you have to figure out your own little thing about how to win souls to Jesus. I was driving a fellow, a rough-looking character yesterday, and I was taking him from one place to another, and you know what? I was sharing Jesus with him. And I told him, I said, you know, the Lord's coming soon. And I said, you got to get ready for him to come. And he says, well, how do I get ready? I'm so glad he asked. You know, I didn't say, well, hold on a minute. Let me call my preacher so he can tell you how to get saved. No, I told him, I said, well, I said, all you got to do is pray and ask Jesus to forgive you of all your sins. I said, you don't have to name them. You just tell him, say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Ask him to come into your heart and live. And I looked at him and I said, and it was about the time I dropped him off, and I said, I can pray with you. I can pray with you. I told him, I said, I can pray with you. He says, let me think about it. Let me think about it. And I told him, I said, well, I said, you could listen to our sermons on all this stuff. And, you cannot confine God within the four walls of the church. Because the devil's using the electronic age for his stuff. So why can't God use the electronic age for his stuff? That's what I'm excited about. I want you to know that you are a champion over addiction, over discouragement, over depression, over anxiety, over sickness, over bad relationships, over financial problems. You are victorious. You are a champion. God made you a champion by sending His Son Jesus to the cross. Don't allow His crucifixion to be in vain in your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 27, I want to read this to you. It says, and I'm going to dissect it for you and show you a bit about what Paul is saying here to us. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. That means you can't stop. That means you can't quit. That means if you're in this thing, you cannot get offended and leave. You've got to stay in it because one receives the prize, so run that you may obtain. Now, here's the key. It says one will receive the prize. So who gets the prize? Is it Ricky that gets the prize? Is it Emmett that gets the prize? Is it Sandy that gets the prize? Well, here's the thing. It says that one will get the prize. Guess who the one is? The people that are in the kingdom of God, the people that are saved, the people that are blood-bought, the people that belong to Jesus. You know he's talking about? The church. Because we're one. We're going to win a prize. I'm excited today to know, and Dad and I were talking about this coming up the road today, that why are people fighting so hard to stay on earth? Why are we struggling? Why do we fight so hard to stay on this earth? And it's like, this is not my home. I'm passing through. But why in the world are we're trying to stay, we're trying to do this, we're trying to do that, but yet we're trying to stay. Let me tell you something. I want out of this thing when God says, John, come on home. It's time for you to get out of here. I'm ready. I have no legacy, but only Jesus. People have asked me, they said, what is your legacy? Is it your children? Is it this? My legacy is knowing that I am in the background of it and that Jesus is in the forefront. The reason why that Paul, and the reason why this is Super Sunday is because, you know, if you follow football, the Super Bowl's tonight, but you're a champion. And so there's going to be a winner tonight that's going to be crowned at the end of the game. Now, understand something, that football actually only has play time. That ball moves only 12 minutes of the whole game. 12 minutes. That's all that ball moves is 12 minutes of the whole game. You can watch a whole football game if they would block out the commercials and the penalties and everything. That ball moves 12 minutes. In the day that Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians, he's talking about sporting events. They were big in Paul's day, especially in the Corinth and then the city. See, they were right in the city, and they had the Olympics in the city, so they pride themselves in that. So Paul is relating to the race that people are going to run, their spiritual walk, knowing because they knew about sports. What's unfortunate is there are a lot more people know more about sports and people's names of sports than the characters that were in the Bible, which is unfortunate. He goes on to say that, and I want to ask you this question. Do you know that in a race, all of the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way that you can get the prize. I've ran 5Ks for the past 7 years. I've got more T-shirts than you can ever imagine of 5Ks that I've ran. You know, my best 5K I've ran is 28 minutes. I run a 5K in 28 minutes. I'm training for a triathlon in September. And this triathlon includes 4.1-mile run, a 4.1-mile kayak trip back on the Kanawha River, and then an 8-mile bike ride. I'm already training for it. You all see me when I check in at Planet Fitness. Christy said, I want to train with you, but I don't want to do it. And I got up on the stair stepper, and I did 7-8 minutes on the stair stepper. You talking about something that'll, that's all I can say. 4 minutes into it, where's Christy? By the way, she's with Lindsay in Ohio, so she'll be coming back after a while, so make sure that you pray. And that little grandbaby of ours, man, is she adorable. You may think she's the ugliest thing, but I don't. She is adorable, and they got to spend... They live in Findlay, Ohio, 4 hours. It's an hour upside of Columbus. I fly there in 2 hours and 10 minutes versus a 4-hour drive. What do you think I'm going to do? And the airport, you can walk to the airport from where they live. Real nice. Findlay, Ohio is a very nice town. It's a very, very nice place. And so anyway, Lindsay calls me the other day and she says, we're coming home. And I said, you are? And she said, yeah. And I said, okay. She said, because it's going to be negative 48 below. And I said, well, I don't blame you. And so they spent three days with us, and so Christy went up to help for this weekend. So you pray for her safe return. But there is going to be a race, and you're in that race. And people say, well, why at 51 years old will you want to run a triathlon? Because I want to. Because I think I can do it. You say, well, I don't think you can do it. Well, I think I can do it. Because you know why I think I can do it? I wouldn't do it if I didn't think I could do it. I can't get in line to run the race and say, oh, I'm going to be a failure. Oh, I've never run a race thinking that I was going to fail. I never ran a race knowing that I was going to be the number one winner. I never have got to that place because I know that I'm not as fast as some of those other people. But I will tell you this, I know that I'm going to finish. And I know within this relationship with Jesus Christ and this church, I know that I'm going to finish. I know that there's a beginning and an end to my life. And if we have 5 years, how behind are we? See, that's the thing. It's me spending more time up here and you representing me and I representing you. And here's what we have to do. We have to let people know that Jesus loves them. Foremost, we have to let them know, but not only that, but our church, that our church loves them and preaches Jesus. And that is how we are going to win souls for Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can do it. There are 10,000 unchurched people that they're not even church. 97% of those people know nothing about Jesus. So what we've got to do is we've got to train you to stop talking lingo. We're talking lingo. I remember one time they had me for our 30-year class reunion. Dr. Danny Monday looks at me, and we're at the pool, and this was day one, and he says, will you pray over the food? And I said, sure. So I prayed over the food, and I asked the Lord to sanctify the food to the nourishment of our bodies. I pray that every day. And Danny looks at me. He says, man, you're setting the food apart today, aren't you? And I'm thinking, how many people were at that reunion that had no clue what I was saying? We start talking about the Holy Spirit, and we start talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We start talking about the gift of tongues and healing and all these kind of things, which are in the Bible. But yet, if we're going to win the unchurched and bring them to Jesus, we've got to simplify the message. See, the enemy has made the message difficult to where people can't understand it. But Jesus had a simple message: to follow me. And that's how we're going to have to do it. We need to share Jesus with people. I get to do that a lot. I get to share Jesus with a lot of people. When people get in the car with me, I'll tell them, I'll say, well, how are you doing, blah, blah, blah. We get into small talk, and then you get into the conversation. And you say, well, so what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a pastor. Ooh, that opens up a lot of message, a lot of, and somebody may look like they're hungover, but you're sharing Jesus with them. See, here's the thing. I had a lady in the car the other day, and she looked like she had spots all over, and I could tell she was doing meth. God, in his intimate wisdom, knows that I would not be moving people around because I do Uber and Lyft, you know, because I don't work at the bank anymore. And so, you know, I'm doing that. But in his intimate wisdom, he has got me with people that are great people that are struggling here, people that are struggling there, people that are going through this and people that are going through that. And I get to share Jesus with them. Because the only people that I get to share Jesus with behind the pulpit are the people that's got it all together. You guys don't need it. What I encourage you to do is go to Charleston and call for me on an Uber ride, and I'll preach to you. I picked up a guy the other day. Can I tell you this story? I got time. I picked up a guy the other day. He may be watching today. I hope he is. Good morning if you are. I told him to. Asked him to. He says, what do you think about homosexuality? He was gay. Well, here's what I told him. I said, people that are homosexual are welcome in our churches. People that are lesbians are welcome in our churches. People that are alcoholics are welcome in our churches. People that are on drugs are welcome to our church. Because here's what I told him. And I believe this with all my heart. Here's what I told him. I said, when you get around God, I said, he's going to change you. Because he was wanting to know what I thought about homosexuality. Well, we know what the Bible says about homosexuality. We know what it says. But here's the thing. He knew that. He knew that. He was trying to catch me up to where I could say, the legalistic church, well, brother, you're going to hell. Ah. The legalistic church says that. Although I agree with that. But Jesus said, I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. I am his, you are his ambassador. He already knew that. That guy already knew that. And he was waiting on me to say that. But what I told him was, I said, when you get around Jesus, I said, he'll change what he doesn't like in you. He'll change you. I thought, man, that is just, that's like the Hail Mary and spike the ball. And I'm praying for him. I'm praying for him. Because let me tell you something. God wants him to be free. He wants him to have the abundant life. God wants you to have the abundant life. Yeah, we're going to go through ups and downs and bumps and bruises. Sure, we're going to go through those things. But let me tell you something. Do we want to help me, Lord, do I want to take the rest of my life and pastor people who've got it all together? No. I want people in here that's got problems. People that are addicted. But here's the key. For you to help them, you got to be free too. You got to get yourself free. You're already free. You just got to figure out how to walk in the peace and the understanding that God wants you to walk in. Because you're a champion. You're a champion from any addiction. You're a champion from discouragement and depression and anxiety and sickness and all that kind of stuff. That's why I encourage you to glorify God in what you eat, so that when you die, it's not because you've got sickness and in your body because of what you've, how you've mistreated it with the food that you eat. You want to leave this world strong. I had the spot in there. Pause for shouting, clapping. I'll move on. You get on sensitive subjects like I get on. Let me tell you something. I'm having the time of my life sharing Jesus with people. I've never had the opportunity to share Jesus with so many people in all my life. In 30 years of pastoring, I'm sharing Jesus with more people. And we picked up this one girl. Christy picked her up one day too. And she's a heroin addict. I know her parents. I've known her parents. I went to school with her mother. And she texted me and she wanted me to come and get her. She wanted me to take her to rehab and take her to here and take her to there and all this kind of stuff. And you know, I it's not my first rodeo, and I didn't do anything about that. I didn't go. I didn't do anything. We just prayed. She was going to Florida to go to rehab. She jumped the plane and didn't go the first time. Well, guess what? Then the second time, her mom texted everybody and said, she's going this time. And guess what? She got on the plane and she went to, she's in Florida right now, and her name is Mariah. You pray for her. Mariah, if you're watching today, we're believing God for you, and we're trusting God that he's going to turn things around for you like he already has. And let me tell you something, but here's the key. The key is, church, is that we are in a hurting world. And if we're not concerned about the hurting world that we're in, and the only thing we're in is our little box, and that's what the problem is with the church, is we're in a box. We need to kick the boxes out and allow people in. We got to allow people in. We're so concerned about, let me tell you something. I remember one time preaching at the Union Mission. If you live there, if you stay there, then you've got to go to church on Sunday morning. Young preacher I was. And you look out there, and people are sleeping because they've been partying all night. They've been on drugs all night, and they've been doing this and doing that all night. And yet, you're up there just preaching your heart out. And a man came forward. I was a young preacher then. A man came forward, and he looks at me. His eyes were yellow. I don't know if it was jaundice or if his liver was all messed up. I don't know what was going on there. But he looks at me, and he shakes my hand. Don't ever turn down a handshake from somebody, and they may not be the same class that you are, and they may be dirty, and they may stink. Don't ever turn a hug down from somebody. I had a guy one time, he told me, he says, I've relapsed on heroin. He said, I'm trying to get free. His name was John. I'll never forget it. I got out of that car when I dropped him off where he was, and he hugged me. He said, thank you. He said, you pray for me. And I pray for him all the time. Dirty. Just absolutely dirty. Just had the world on him, just like the pig pen of the rich young ruler. I mean, not the rich young ruler, but the who I'm talking about. But anyway, so what happened is I ended up sharing Jesus with them. You want them free. God wants them free. But our church has to be a place where people can get free and not bound. Some of us have to be deprogrammed in some ways, in the legalistic ways, so that we can get free ourselves. But not only that, I'm not preaching that all that stuff is right, because I know it's wrong. But let me tell you something. How we win souls for Christ is we take them to Jesus. Ministry is dirty. Ministry is ugly. Ministry is not all lights and everything spectacular. If you're really doing ministry, it's going to be ugly. We're running a race. We're going to get a prize someday. Run in such a way to get the prize. Don't run the race and run it halfway and then quit. Only one gets the prize. That is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is going to get the prize. If you are saved, you are an athlete. You're an athlete if you're saved. You say, brother, I am ran in 20 years. And last time I was running, it was from the mama switch. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you're an athlete for God. And there's no bench warmers. Are you with me? There are no bench warmers. If I would have, I wasn't really any good at football or baseball. Hockey, I played ice hockey. I was pretty good in ice hockey. Ice hockey was kind of my thing. But if I went over to my coach and said, Coach, I'm really tired. I don't want to play anymore. What do you think would have happened? If you're saved, you're an athlete, and you need to get in good spiritual condition. Are you talking to God on a regular basis? Are you having daily time with Him and discussion about your day and about Him? Are you asking Him how to handle certain situations in your day? Are you asking Him how you could handle things differently? Are you honoring God in what you're in your diet and what you're eating? Because, see, here's the thing. To be an athlete, you need to eat well, and you need to be physically and mentally strong, because the Bible tells us to be sober, to be diligent, because what's going to happen is the enemy is going to try to deceive you. Are you with me? I don't know if you realize this or not, but the enemy wants to deceive you. He wants you to get your feelings hurt, get yourself sucking your thumb and out of church to where you don't even want to go. Anybody ever been there? wants you to honor God. He wants you to honor Him. Now, on Messenger and on you, on YouTube, not YouTube, but YouVersion. YouVersion, right now, I sent out to everyone a 21-day devotion. It takes 5 minutes. It takes 5 minutes. It's a 5-minute devotion. Think of this. And you can look at your feet if you want to. But let me ask you something. When was the last time you had a Bible study? When was the last time you opened your Bible? Has your Bible been opened this week? Has it been? And just ask yourself this question. And you serve God, but you don't read your Bible. You serve God, but you don't pray. Or it's a shopping list Walmart prayer about give me that, and all that kind of stuff. I want you to understand something, is that God is going to bring us to a place, and He is doing this now, bringing us to a place of maturity. Are you with me? He wants to bring us to a place of maturity. Yes, we're going to take some bumps. We're going to take some bruises in our life. We're not going to feel good all the time. Things are going to happen. I don't want to go to the gym 3 days a week. I'd rather not go at all. I'd rather sit with the remote and eat coconut bonbons. But is that good for me? No. You're a champion. You need to act like a champion. Since we're on sports, and I encourage you to watch this, don't boo me, but we followed Jeff Gordon for years in NASCAR, and they just put him into the NASCAR Hall of Fame, and he gave a speech, and he cried at the end of his speech, because he said, I found a clip when I was 19 years old. And in that clip, it showed that I want to be like the Dale Earnhardts and the Darrell Waltrips and to be like this one and be like that one. He said, but I know that I'm young. He said, but at the end of that clip, he said, so I've got to get busy. I don't want to be anybody but like Jesus. But we got to get busy. And what the enemy will do is try to tie you up with afflictions, with financial trouble, with crying about this person or that person, or this person hurt you or that person hurt you, or this kind of thing. People are going to hurt you. People have hurt me. But guess what? You got to press on. Vengeance is not yours, it's God's. So anyway, with YouVersion, I sent out this 20-day devotional to you all. I don't send those things out for you not to do them. Are you with me? I send those things out for you to do them. Because we have to have our church on the same page. We have to have our church on the same page. We have to have you all maturing. So when I pray over these things, I don't just send them out because I like the logo on the front of the page. I send them out because you need it. And they're simple. They're 5 minutes. And man, I tell you what, the one on Friday, I've chewed on that one for 2 days. And it was simple. So go back to Messenger and sign up for it and do it with me, would you? Because it's important that you grow. One thing that you have to understand, and I'm not a dictator, although I've been accused, but I will tell you this, that I'm not a dictator, but if I ask you to do something, it's not because it's going to be bad for you. It's going to be good for you. Why do you think your mother told you to eat your vegetables? So your teeth wouldn't rot out. My mom would make spinach, kale. She'd put an egg on top of it, I guess to make that attractive. But you know, it's not so bad. And it's good for you. It's amazing that what we want to eat is the things that's bad. I don't know, the other day, confession's good for the heart. Let me confess something. I was driving around and, you know, doing the Daniel fast, and man, I tell you what, it seemed like every time I turned around, I saw the golden arches. Curse that in Jesus' name. I'm telling you what, I didn't stop. Because greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. How bad do you want it? That's the key. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want to walk close to God? Let me tell you something. You want the power of God in your life? Let me tell you, the only way you're going to get it is prayer and fasting. That's the word. I bet you some of the prayers that people pray without doing any prayer and fasting, I bet you it's like a balloon with the air let out of it. It's like there's no power in it. Let me tell you something. When I pray Jesus, when I say the name of Jesus, when I say God's name, when I pray, let me tell you something. I want to be able to say, Lord, and the angels stand in attention. I want to be able to pray for the sick and they shall recover. But let me tell you, you know how that happens? Prayer and fasting. There is no easy way. And I encourage you to don't just fast those 21 days, and thank you for doing it, but don't just fast those 21 days. I encourage you to fast more. I encourage you. You need to do it. Because for our church to be successful for the kingdom of God and bringing in people, we have to pray and fast. It can't just be a few of us. So are you having that daily time? Are you having that daily discussion? Talking to Jesus. We say, well, I don't like to read. Well, a lot of those things will read for you, which is really good. You are an athlete. You, my friend, are a champion. I was telling you earlier in the service that when I was on the Daniel fast, my mind seemed to be more clear, like on a cool, frigid day. I challenge you to stay focused. Verse 25 says, and every man that striveth for the mastery Are you striving? Are you striving to master the things that control you? I'm getting close to my pilot's license. I've got to do 3 cross countries, which are 150-mile trips, and I got 2 tests that I need to take. And I'll have my pilot's license, and then we can go ride all the time if y'all want to. It's been, and I'm not done, but it's been one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do. But if it was easy, everybody would be doing it, wouldn't it? How many people think their Christian life is easy? If it is, you come up here. And I'll go sit down, and you tell us how to do it. Because it's not easy. It's not easy. Because we have the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness that we are fighting. We are fighting the principalities and the powers and rulers of darkness. There is a bounty on your head. The enemy wants you dead. He wants you destroyed. And I won't hear of it. Paul is asking us in this scripture, he's asking us, do we really want to win? Do we really want to win? Because now they that do win obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I don't know if you realize this or not, but some of you all may not see death. If Jesus comes in 5 years, Barb, some of us may be alive when that happens. Now, some of us may not be. We don't know. Everybody has a day. Everybody has a day we're all going to pass. But I will tell you this. There may be, you may be on this earth when the rapture of the church takes place. Let me tell you something. You may be in the ground when the rapture of the church takes place. But here's what's going to happen, and I sang it last week, that I'll see you in the rapture. I'm telling you, there's coming a day when Jesus, he looks over at Father God. He looks over at God. I don't think I could give it justice. But he looks over at him, and he said, it's time. Go get my children. And no matter what you're doing, whether you're flying an airplane and you're asleep in bed or you're working or you're doing this or preaching behind the pulpit, I mean, who knows what may happen. But there's coming a day that the rapture of the church is going to take place and people are going to be taken out of here. The Christian people, the people that have served God, the athletes for the kingdom of God, the people that have walked with him, that have talked to him, have strived to be with him and to be obedient to him. Let me tell you something. These are the people that he is coming after. And I praise God to know that I'm going to be one in that number, that where he is going to take me out of here. Yeah. And the places that you left your loved ones, and I've been with some of you where you've left your loved ones, and they're laying in a cold tomb. Their body is in a cold tomb, in a casket 4.5 feet or 5 feet deep, and you've got flowers on top of it, and you've got a tombstone that's there. And let me tell you something. Thank God your loved one is not, if they were saved, they're not in that casket. That is just a shell. But let me tell you something. The Bible tells you and me, you can read it and it'll tell you this, that there is coming a day where he is going to step out onto clouds of glory and he's going to call these people home. And it says the dead in Christ, glory to God, will rise first. And what's going to happen is people are going to come up out of there like a toaster. They're going to come out of there like a Pop-Tart coming out of a poster, and they're going to come out. And it says that their body will be reunited. And there with the Lord we shall be. Hallelujah! Oh, and I tell you what, let me give you something else that's even a little bit better. Can I give you a gold nugget at 15 to 12? Let me tell you something. You're going to know them. Oh, my goodness gracious. Woo. I told you all one time, and I buried myself in a hanky at Mud Fork Church one time because I got to thinking about this. And I'm telling you what, I don't know if you remember that, but I just bore my head, and I just tell you what, I'm telling you, there's going to be a day, there's going to be a day, church, that there's going to be a song that the angels cannot sing. And that song is going to be, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And one thing that I can't wait, because I've stood on a stage with my mother for years, and we sang songs of Zion. And she wrote some tremendous songs. But I tell you what, Dad, I believe this day that I'm going to be able to find my mama when we sing that song. And I'm going to go up to her. I'm going to put my arm around her. And we're going to sing a song that the angel cannot sing. But I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Barb, your mom's not down in that cemetery. She's not down there anymore. She's not there. That's just her shell that's down there. But there's coming a day where Jesus is going to come. And he's going to say, come on, my children, get out of here. Let's go. I believe it. I'm dumb enough, church, to believe it. That Jesus is coming. That we're not ready. Your grandparents that you've said goodbye to, if they were saved, let me tell you something. You're going to see them again. You're not going to know them. Now, let me tell you something. The people say, am I going to be married in heaven? No. Yeah, you're going to be married, but it's to it's to Jesus. Do you know he's preparing the marriage supper of the Lamb for you and me? And we're going to sit and we're going to eat. We're actually marrying. People don't understand this. People think, well, this may be weird. We are going to marry Jesus because he loves the church and he died for the church. We're going to marry Jesus. You say, well, that's kind of odd, isn't it? No. That's the way he set it up. I'm going to marry Jesus. There's a marriage supper of the Lamb that's going to take place. There's going to be a great celebration. I don't know this to be honest. I don't know this to be true. But one thing that I do know is that Satan and the false prophet are going to be cast into the lake of fire. I hope to God that we can see that. I hope he lets us see it. Carlos, I hope that we are there when they bring him down in chains. Because he's tormented us. And they bring him down in chains. And he's bound. Not only, what you don't understand something, church, is when you hurt, I hurt. When you're going through stuff, I hurt. But I picture this ugly being walking down. And I don't even know what's going to happen this way. Then he's going to cast him into the lake of fire. Glory to God. To be tormented for eternity. Some churches, they get all out of whack. They say, well, is it going to be a short hell? Is it going to be a long hell? Is it going to be tormented forever? Some people believe he's just going to burn up. Well, here's the thing. As long as he is destroyed, we serve a risen Savior. We don't serve a dead God. Quit acting like you serve a dead God. I'm telling you, we serve a live God. If you knew the power that you had within inside of you, you would not allow him to buffet you like he does. Somebody shout in the house today. Because you've got the power. Shake it off, just like the song said. You know, I was acting all goofy. You know why? Because I tell you what, you get your little swag going and all that kind of stuff. We got to shake it off. Glory to God. Then there's going to be a marriage supper. There's going to be a song that the angels cannot sing. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm telling you, what's going to be so cool about that is the angels are going to step back. Can you imagine? They're going to step back. And we're going to sing the song. Because they don't know it. They've never been redeemed. Let me tell you something. To know that you have been redeemed by the blood of Calvary, that you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. We need to be winning souls to Jesus, training them to live right and obey him. Church, we have to obey God. We have to obey God. There's no room. There's no room. Yes, we have grace. Thank God for grace. But we don't have room to miss it. We don't have time to miss it. You say, what are we talking about? If God says don't do it, don't do it. The Bible says, you know, people, they challenge me all the time with this. And I get so sick of hearing people talk about it. They say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. You once sinned, yes, but you're no longer a sinner. Because you've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. And let me ask you this. Do you think sin is getting into heaven? Then how are you going to make it if you're a sinner saved by grace? That means you're still a sinner. You say, well, I'm not a sinner. Well, did you sin yesterday? Have you done this? I hear people tell me that all the time. Let me tell you something. There is nothing lacking in my spirit. My spirit is perfect. My spirit is perfect. There is nothing that my spirit needs. It's the flesh that's not saved. It's the flesh that needs work. But I am convinced this, that if you can tell your body not to eat, that you can tell your body not to sin. Unless I'll never change my word on it. I'm telling you, if you can tell your body, look, you're not going to eat today because I'm going to submit myself to God. I'm going to pray today for 2 hours, or I'm going to pray for 30 minutes. I'm going to seek God's face before Him today, and I'm not going to eat. Then guess what? The closer that you walk with Jesus will cause you not to even want or to even think about sinning. It's the thing. It's like the flesh is thinking about the next fix. The flesh is thinking about how it's going to figure out how to sin. You submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. He hounded me yesterday for about 5 minutes, Satan did. He hounded me for about 5 minutes, and it was hard. I mean, it was tough. It was tough. I mean, he was beating on me. He was beating on me like that. And you know what? I started praising him. Oh, Barb, I just started praising him. I just lifted my hands. Let me tell you something. You get in the battle, Satan will not come around his praise. If you don't fuel a bully, he won't stick around. So I started praising him. I said, oh, Jesus. I said, I just praise you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that all power, it was given to Jesus, and He gave it to us, Lord. I'm thankful that I can tread over serpents, and I thank you, God, that I shall not be moved. I thank you, God, that you will take care of every need. I thank you, God, that I will not sustain the temptation in any way because I am free in Jesus' name. I said, Lord, I just want to praise you for saving me. I want to thank you, Lord, that my name is written in heaven. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Someday I'm going to sing the song that the angels cannot sing. I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus, and I command you to leave me in Jesus' name. Guess what? He's got to go. It's probably not a good thing that I take a couple weeks off because I fire it all at you. He's got to go. So what is your purpose? What is your purpose? You have to run with purpose. Every step, you have to run with purpose. He tells us in the scripture in verse 26, he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So sight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now, I looked that up in another interpretation because that was kind of out there a little bit, and you got to figure it out. So, though I run with purpose in every step, I am not just a shadow boxer. You ever seen them guys and get ready to fight, and they're doing their jabbing and they're not hitting anything, and they're getting their breathing and they're getting their blood pressure up and they're getting going. Let me tell you something. You got to quit swatting at the air. You got to quit swatting at the air. You got to know what you're fighting against. You got to know that you're fighting against the enemy. You got to know that he's trying to destroy you. He's trying to get you addicted. He's trying to get you depressed. Let me tell you something. I am so sick that Christian people are so happy for their afflictions, and they brag about it. Oh, I'm depressed today. I wouldn't tell nobody that. I wouldn't speak that out, or I'm sick today, or I'm this today. And then you want everybody to know, and you put it on Facebook. And I'm not saying that we can't put stuff out on Facebook for people to pray for us about, but let me tell you something. You have to be so careful because the enemy's just trying to bait you. And if he can get you baited and get you to a place where I guess I am depressed today. Well, I guess I am addicted today. Well, I guess I am this. And then you start second-guessing yourself. That's what he did with Eve. Don't let him play tricks with you like that. Well, nobody loves me. Or did you see the garbage that people are saying about me here? Seeing about what people are saying there. Let me tell you something. Through what we've been through, I've got to the place that I really don't care. As long as I'm obeying Jesus and I'm clear with Him, I don't care what people say about me. Because let me tell you something. In this walk, you're not going to have very many friends. Hello? You're not going to have very many friends. You're going to be lied on and cheated and talked about, mistreated. But they did Jesus that way. So I guess we're in good company. It's amazing to me when Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, Hosanna, Hosanna, and they're waving Then the next week they're saying, crucify him. That's the way it works. Matthew chapter 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. What is your purpose? What is your purpose? You know, I thought my purpose was to be in the workplace and a branch manager of a bank. Ultimately, we know different. What is your purpose? I'm asking Jesus that. Jesus, what is my purpose? I know I'm to pastor in Gassaway, West Virginia. I know we're to start 4 churches. I know that we've got 2 up and running. Where are the other 2? And I'm saying, Lord, what is your purpose for me? It's like he ought to hit me with a head with a skillet. I'm praying. I'm seeking. I'm asking. God, what do you want me to do? If you don't know what your purpose is, then it's time for you to pray and fast and find out what your purpose is. You say, well, sorry about your luck, preacher. If you're asking me to do that, I'm just wanting to be a casual Christian. I just want to just, you know, hardly ever read my Bible, hardly ever to pray, but just make it in by the skin of my teeth. Preacher, you're asking me to do more than what I signed up for. Then that makes you a bench warmer. That makes you lukewarm. Now think about that. Think about that. Chew on that one for a minute. That we could be lukewarm. He said that if you're lukewarm, he would rather you be hot or cold. Or if you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. What he's saying is that you got to get in the game. The things that you're praying about right now, don't stop praying. I was thinking about the song the other day, that old song, Don't Stop Believing. Don't stop believing. Don't quit believing. Even though that song was about something else. Don't stop believing. Don't give up. Don't give up on your dreams. You know, once I figured out that I don't have a legacy and that it's all about Jesus, then I'm okay in saying, Lord, fill up the church. Because let me tell you something, I can't say that I was always pure in my thoughts of saying, fill up the church. Well, because you want to brag about that, because we got 100 people. We got 150 people. We had to put chairs out. Oh, good grief. Give me a break on some of that stuff. How many souls are you seeing saved? You may have a full church, but my God, how many people are getting saved? How many people are getting healed? How many people are getting filled with the Holy Ghost? Oh, it's just so we can brag about the numbers. Drive me crazy. Not really. You keep doing what you're doing, and you'll hit the goal every time. You keep doing what you're doing, you'll hit the goal every time. You've got to get yourself to a place, church, lick your wounds, suck it up, get tough, and who cares what people think about you? There's people who don't like, what's that guy's name, Tom Brady, that's playing tonight? Because of Deflategate or whatever it is, you know, did he really let the air out of the balls and all that kind of stuff and all that kind of stuff? Let me tell you something. My dad was a referee for years. He and I talked about it. He said, "You grab that football." He said, "If you're a referee, you know how if that football is going to be you know the proper inflation, you know, and same way with a basketball and all that kind of stuff." But yet he'll always be accused of that. You're always going to be accused of something. Are you with me? But you can't let that get to you. You can't let that get to you. Well, preacher, but you don't know. Let me tell you something. I've told my wife this about people that may say things about them. It's like, I don't need the air they breathe. All I need is Jesus. Now, when there's no oxygen left in the world and they have all the oxygen bottles, then I may have to be nice to them. But here's the thing. Understand something. I don't need anybody but Jesus. And the same with you. What are your goals? Verse 27 says, but I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection. I can preach a whole sermon on this. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What he is saying here, Paul is saying this. He says, Paul made sure that his body was a servant. Now listen to this. And his inner man was the master. Not his flesh, not his body. The body is not the master. The inner man is the master. Because that's where God is. The inner man is where God is. The desires of his body were not going to rule over his entire self. He said this. He said in another interpretation, he said, no, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. I keep telling you that if you can tell your body not to eat, you can tell it not to sin. It's contrary to the word of God for you to sin. You got to get sin out of your life. This homosexual I was talking to the other day, he loves it. He said, I love being a homosexual. He says, I love homosexual porn. He said, I love being gay. He said, I love it. But if you get close to Jesus and you start getting around people with Jesus, then you'll start hating the things that the devil loves. Are you with me? Oh, I live for the day that somebody can come in this church and grow up under this ministry that may have been on drugs or they may have been an alcoholic or they may have been gay and now they've fallen in love with a different man called Jesus. Are you with me? Now I strike a blow to my body is what he's saying. Put your flesh into subjection. Don't be lazy. Stop making excuses that you're human. I hear that so much. Well, I'm only human. You're spiritual. You have a flesh. Your flesh is no count. It needs to be crucified. There any place in the Bible that it says about the flesh, it needs to be crucified. But your spirit is perfect. So don't be lazy. Stop making excuses about you being human. Your Christianity is not human, it is spiritual. What is spiritual manifests itself in the flesh. Men of God are saying that we have 5 years before the rapture of the church takes place. So what I'm asking you to do is to get in the game. Don't be a spectator, but be a player. We've got a lot going on. You don't see the behind the scenes. You don't see the meetings that I'm going to and the people that I'm talking to and the people that Pastor Jay is talking to and this kind of thing. And we're talking about this and we're talking about that and we're meeting with these people and meeting with that people. We're meeting with a marketing team. How can we win more souls to Jesus? And we're doing this. We have 3 people that work with us to help us to strategize on how to win souls for Jesus. Because I got to be honest with you, I don't know all the answers. The neat thing about this sermon is that we win. The neat thing about this sermon is we are victorious. The neat thing about this sermon is that we are champions. We're champions. Stop blaming people for your demise. Take ownership on where you've messed up. Repent and move on. Because the Bible tells us there is no condemnation of those that are in Christ Jesus. You are free. I encourage you to walk free. That's the message today from your coach. You ready to play the game? A lot to do. A lot to do. This thing is not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. That's our legacy, is Jesus. Not how many people we fill up in this building. Not how many campuses we have. Not anything about that. It's about Jesus. And I am really sorry that I had to go through a few things in my life to figure that out. But I've had to. God's faithful. So you should be in a celebratory mood right now. We could be able to be playing Celebrate Good Times, Come On. Well, I mean, we could like be really excited because you're a champion. God's going to help you in your finances. God's going to help you in your sickness. God's going to help you to not be addicted. He's going to help you to through all that kind of stuff. Because guess what? He is the King. There is no name that's greater than the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet and give Him some praise in the house. Whether you lift your hands, whether you shout, God, you're worthy to be praised. You hold on, church. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged because this place isn't full. You hold on. They're coming in. They're coming in. We're calling them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We're calling them in. You know, we may be just a few now, but guess what? It's going to get big. You know why it's going to get big? Because we're calling them in, and we're living right, and we're praying, and we're fasting. God knows that we're here. Barbara said this more times to me. He wants us to be in a place where He trusts us. I want to be in a place where He trusts me. Lord, I pray You trust me. He's not going to put His power through faulty wiring. He wants to put His power through a church. Time is short. It's time to win souls. We'll train you on how to do it. We'll ask Jesus to help us to win souls because we need it. We need it, Lord. Show us how. Show us how to win souls. Andy, I don't know what you got playing up there, but go ahead and play something. And you got lost loved ones that you want to reach for Jesus? Come and pray for them. Come and pray for them. Pray for a boldness on you to be able to win your co-workers to Jesus.
Shattered like you've never been before.
So many people need Him.
The life
Call
you
Lord.
Knew.
Call Him in. The name of Jesus.
In a thousand pieces on the floor. And words fall short in times like these. But this world drives you to your knees. You think you're never gonna get back to the you they used to be. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. And tell your heart to beat again. Beginning, just let that word wash over you. It's all right now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up, take step one. Leave the darkness, feel the sun. 'Cause your story's far from over, and your journey's just begun. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday's a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. And tell your heart to beat. everything for your good.
Help us, Jesus.
Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace.
Jesus speaking anything to you while you're praying or while you've come to the altar or anything? Is the Lord speaking to anything, to anybody, about what he's telling us today? They're coming. We have to get ready. They're coming. 10,000 unchurched people in Braxton County, they're coming. We've got to be ready when they get here. Got to be ready when they get here. This is not the status quo. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus is so worthy to be praised. Yes. His army's rising. Tori just said his army's rising. John Sandy said last week, it's time. He had a word for the church. He said, it's time. Hallelujah. The army's rising. Glory to God. Who's the army? We are the army. We are the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Anyone else have a word? Thank you, Jesus. If you're watching on Facebook and YouTube, we'd like to say we love you and we're praying for you. For God's will to be done in your life. And we pray in Jesus' name that if you don't know Jesus, that you'll come to know him. Just ask him to forgive you of your sins. Come into your life and live. You may live far away from this church, or you may live far away from the Pulse in Winfield. Begin in a Bible-believing church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Father, we just pray you have your way in this week. Protect us, Lord. Heal where healings need to take place. Thank you, God, that in where disaster may strike, you are still in the midst, and we glorify you for that. Thank you, God, for the state of our churches, that we are in good shape according to you, Father. Because we love you and we glorify you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.